Hello, welcome to lecture 11, the second part about graphs and trees. Last time we were a lot of definitions on various concepts, and graph is a set of vertices and edges between them. We have not said yet what a tree is. It's very often used in computer science. A tree is a special type of graph where you can't find any cycle as a subgraph. We had some shown cycles, C3, C4, and C5, and so on, last time. And the subgraph we also defined, we took a subset of the vertices and the edges in, say, mother graph, and then we got a subgraph of it. But if there is a tree, you cannot find any cycles in there. Come back to this last part to this lecture. Okay, here comes some more definitions. I illustrate with K5, maybe my favorite graph, the pentagram plus the pentagon. I don't know why it's my favorite, but for the moment it is. Okay. Here I have labeled the vertices, and we see a path there of, we say, a path of length 2 that goes from, take x0, x1, and x2. I go around there, the rim of this one, this graph, and it's length 2 since there are two edges. This is a path. I start somewhere and I end somewhere else. And this path is simple. Edges and vertices are not repeated. Here comes another one. I start in x2, I go to x4, I go to x1, I go back to x2. And I go x4 again and down to x3. This is a not simple path of length 5 edges. I visited x2 twice, and I disrode this edge x2 to x4. I traveled twice also. And a last example of a circuit, that is that you come back to a path where you come back to the same point, starting point. You come back to the starting point. So here is an example: x4, x1, x0, x4. I go around in that triangle up there. This is a circuit, but I prefer to call it a cycle, in fact, because I visit the vertices only once. I visit the vertices there in this is only once. Then I want to call it a cycle. These definitions can change a little bit from book to book, but I stick to this one in that is in Rosen's book. But I will use the word cycle if vertices are not repeated. Okay. A word here, connected, lower half of page 1, the graph G1 there is connected, since there is a path between any pair of vertices. You could think of this if these are vertices are mail servers, and then you can send mail between any or all of these servers. But the one in the middle there, almost all information passes this in the middle, and so this is a rather fragile system. If this breaks down, the whole service, the whole mail transport will be stopped. And G2 there to the right is not connected. It has two connected components, the L-shaped one there and the edge between two vertices. By the way, these two components there, they are both trees. There are no cycles in them. So can you guess what G2 is called, since it's a couple of trees? Yes, of course, it's called a forest. So that was it. It's a G2 is a little bit, a little forest. Small one, but anyhow. Okay, and here, yes, the VVV graph took from the book. If you look upon it as an undirected graph, an edge, if there is a link in any direction, then 99, it was 9, had a connected component that includes 90% of the vertices. I wonder how it is today, and I wonder what the rest of this, what kind of web pages are that. And let's turn page. We have seen here comes a problem from the book. Two graphs, the G1 and G2, and the question is, are they isomorphic? We had this before, but we take a new one here, G1 and G2, and we spoke about rubber bands, if you remember. Let's see here. We start with obvious things. Both graphs have 8 vertices and they have 10 edges. And then we could check how many vertices with degree 2 and 3 and so there are. I find 4 of each there, 4 of degree 2 and 4 of degree 3 in both of them. So is it time to start to find this one-to-one correspondence between the vertices? Try to invent the function then from vertex 1 in one graph to vertex 1 in the other and so on. Or what? Yeah, a function. That's what it's all about mathematically. But I have the feeling that these are not really have, they don't have not the same structure. This inner rectangle and outer rectangle, they are connected, but not in the same way. The opposite corners that are connected in the one to the left there, and near lying in the one to the left, in the left and right in the other one. Yeah. So let's have a look at circuits also, or maybe I should say then cycles, because I will really look at cycles. They are also, as they say, isomorphic invariants. If there are 3 cycles of length 4, you say in one of them, it must be 3 in the other one also. That follows really from the definition of isomorphism, if you go back to lecture 10. And here I've done a little table there and found the number of circuits of length 4, 5 and 6. And indeed I find different numbers for length 4 and 6. You can check my counting there. I hope I got it right. And then I can conclude that these are not isomorphic. If I should try now to find such a bijection between the vertices, I should really end up with a contradiction. Since there are three cycles of length 4 in the one to the left, but I find only 2 in the one to the right. So that's useful with these cycles. I turn page 3, and then we come into something that is called Euler and Hamilton paths, or circuits, we should say. We could also consider circuits here, and we will mainly consider circuits. And the graph to the left there, G, it's a multigraph, you see, 4 vertices. It's a real classic. It's, in fact, the graph that, I think, started the whole subject. Because there is this town of Königsberg. Nowadays it's in Russia and it's called Kaliningrad. It has a river into it that makes a, it's divided in a Y-shaped, divides into 2 streams. And there are 2 islands in this river, A and D, I denote them there. And C and B are the, that's the land. And the edges are bridges. And then came up the question, if you want to take a walk around on Sunday walk, you want to come back to your home, and then you should pass every edge once, every bridge only once. Is this possible? Yeah, this is a well-known puzzle. So is there a simple circuit passing over all edges of this graph? If it's so, such a circuit is called an Euler circuit, because this famous mathematician Euler, he solved this problem. And you are allowed to come back to vertices, of course, but no reuse of edges. Well, that looks hard. That seems impossible. Compare with H there, another graph. Double cone, like that structure. Then I think it's easy to find an Euler circuit. Do you agree? Okay. Let's see. Come up with some necessary condition for an Euler circuit. I use EC for short here. A necessary condition, if you start to think about it, is that all degrees of the vertices must be for all vertices. And you see, if you come to a vertex, you have to leave it. I have a solid line passing through a vertex V. If I come back along the dashed edges there, I mean, I increase the degree by 2 every time I pass. So 2 edges for each visit at the vertex. So that we understand that this is a necessary condition. Now comes the other wire, arrow pointing in other direction, is to show that it's also a sufficient condition, is harder. And I will do it, this proof, I think it's illuminating, and I use induction proof over the number of edges. I just started out here and then come back to it in the appendix at the end, because it takes some time. I found it in another book, and I prefer this way of doing it. Induction proof over edges. I start with the first part here. Then I show it for one edge. Well, one edge. That must be a loop then. So 2 times the 1 is 2, so there must be a degree 2 vertex, and that is a loop. 2 edges and the middle structures there, what can happen then? Well, 2 edges, that means the sum of the degrees should be equal to 4. And remember now that I'm now cosine the graphs where all vertices have even degree. So how can I write 4 with even numbers? Well, I can write it as 4, but I can write it also as 2 plus 2. And 2 plus 2 corresponds to the multigraph there, and 4 corresponds to this figure 8. Same with 3 edges. Well, 3 times 2 is 6. How can I write 6 with even numbers? Well, as 6 as 4 plus 2, and 2 plus 2 plus 2. So, and then I get 3 different graphs there. And you can convince yourself that in all these 6 graphs together, you can find an Euler circuit. No problem. So now we are ready for doing this using the induction assumption. Assume it's okay for k edges. And then go on and study k plus 1 edges. But I leave that a little bit later on today. We do something, consider a little bit about Hamilton cycles, such things first. Yeah. Another theorem here from the book. Now I turn page, top of page 4. A connected multigraph has an Euler path, not circuit. Not circuit. You're not coming back to the same point. You're passing every edge once. You have an initial and a terminal vertex somewhere else. And what's a sufficient and necessary condition for that? This, the existence of an Euler path. It has the graph has exactly 2 vertices of odd degree. And if we trust what we just talked about for Euler circuits, we can prove it. Assume there is an Euler path. Then say we start at degree x, that's the initial, and y is the terminal. I just write some parts of this graph. Could have done an example there, but I just sketch it here a little bit. Then we start with the degree 1 when we are leaving first time, and if we come back, then we add and twos every time. So that will give an odd number. For the terminal vertex, y, we have two every time, except for the last where we get one. So these two will have odd degree then. And other, all other ones, we are coming and leaving, so that we get even degrees. And if you take the arrow in the other direction, that exactly 2 vertices of odd degree. Yes, now you should say that there are odd degrees, exactly 2 vertices of odd degree, and then you do the following. You include a new vertex Z by hand and join Z with Y and X. Then all vertices in the graph has even degree, so there is an Euler circuit by previous theorem, and that means that if they're in Euler circuit in this G star, then there must be an Euler path from Y to X. Just cancel these two edges from Y to Z and Z to X. Yeah. I think it's fun to prove things in graph theory. It's so concrete. You can look in figures and so on. It's more fun to prove things in graph theory than in other fields of mathematics, I think. That's my personal viewpoint. Okay, now we turn to another concept, and that is Hamilton paths or Hamilton circuits, or I should really say here Hamilton cycles, because we will not go to a vertex more than once. You can have a look on a next page immediately. There is some network there with a graph with 9 vertices, top of page 5. And think of that you are a traveling salesman. You are on the road and you are coming to towns A, B, and C, and so on. And you spend the night at a hotel. And you should visit them all 9. And of course it's a little bit boring to come back to the same town and same hotel. You want to find a Hamilton cycle inside there. That means that is a cycle that passes through every vertex exactly once. That is what we call a Hamilton cycle. So going around, come back to the initial point. You don't have to use every edge. You should just visit every vertex once. Can you find such a route if you are a traveling salesman? Oh yeah, there are many roads there, so I hope you find it easy for this particular case. I don't say so about Hamilton paths, but that's the same thing, but you end up somewhere else. Start at one place and end at another. But if you are a traveling salesman, you want to come home, and so you do a cycle. you hoping for some easy, sufficient, and necessary condition for the existence of such a circuit, cycle, Hamilton cycle? For the Euler circuit, we had this with that even degrees of all vertices. Easy check, and then we can go on and find the circuit. Unfortunately, there are no useful, necessary, and sufficient condition for Hamilton cycle. It's no. A sufficient condition is Dirac's theorem. I wonder if this Dirac is the famous physicist from 20s and 30s. He got the Nobel Prize. Maybe it's him. The following goes like this. G is a simple and if we have n vertices and n is greater than 3. If the degree of all these vertices are greater or equal to n half for all vertices in the graph, then we can go on and find a Hamilton cycle. There is one. But as you see, it's not a necessary condition. Look at in our example above there. In the graph there, we have 9 vertices. So the degree should be greater or equal to 5 then, 9 halves and an integer, that means 5. But we see here that the degrees here are mostly 3. There's only this vertex in the middle that has a degree above 5. All of the other ones have below, but anyhow, it was easy to find the Hamilton cycle. So it's not, these theorems are not much, not so great. But maybe there will be something in the future, but no one has found it yet. And this is a tough problem for computers to investigate. The worst case time complexity we spoke about in chapter 3, then, is exponential for finding Hamilton cycles. It belongs to this class of NP complete problems. So if you can do this on polynomial time, then you can do a lot of other similar problems in polynomial time. That's tough. Okay. I finish today's lecture with a little appendix here. I think you should follow me the last pages also, because we'll learn a little bit about trees. We will come back to trees, but it could be nice to have a look upon it already now. So now I will finish this induction proof of the arrow pointing to the right there, that I was speaking about these Euler circuits, that even degree for all vertices is a sufficient condition for existence of an Euler circuit in the graph. We started out with a 1-edge, 2-edge, 3-edges on the previous page. So I do an induction proof over the edges and assume now it's proven up to k edges. So we start with something that is not obvious. We will do a little preliminary work here on next page before. And if then it will be go fast at the end. I claim here that since the degrees are even for all vertices, it follows that the graph has a cycle as a subgraph, or many cycles, at least a cycle as a subgraph. And if we understand that, then it follows rather easily. So let's turn to page 6. I illustrate this here, these two rectangles or polygons on top of each other. There are all two cycles. I found the even degree everywhere, and I find two cycles easily. And how can we understand this generally, that even degrees everywhere on the vertices means that there implies existence of cycles? Well, these graphs that have no cycles by definition, they are called trees, we said. I give an example that T1 and T2 of two trees, and in one case, the left one with 5 vertices, 4 edges. Other one, 8 vertices and 7 edges. It seems that for vertices, for trees, we have the following, this star-made equation there. The number of vertices is one more than the number of edges. Can that generally be true? Yeah, the proof is given in 10.1. I do a little, some lines here where I show it by induction, this statement. This time it's induction over vertices. One vertex, there, no edge. One is 0 plus 1, fine. Two vertices, yeah, that's just a line, edge, so 2 is 1 plus 1. Assume it holds for k vertices. Consider then a tree with k plus 1 vertices. This additional last vertex I call W in my little figure, and I have just some wavy lines there to include the tree. You could write any tree inside there you want. That vertex W must be connected with one vertex in the tree there. One vertex only, U. Because if it's connected with two, you have cycles, and it's not a tree. So you see, and for the tree you had this formula, and for the k plus one tree you add one vertex, but you add also one edge. So the formula holds even here. Fine. That was a little digression about this little formula. Back to our original problem. And what was that? To say that there must be cycles in the graphs that where the degree is all the time even. Because now we bottom half of page 6, we are going to this useful formula. 2 times the number of edges is equal to the sum of the degrees of the vertices. If now the degree is even all the time, it is at least 2. So I make an estimate there to something lower. So I put 2 everywhere. And that I get something that is smaller or equal to 2e. namely 2 times the number of vertices. So in these graphs we are considering, then when I divide by 2, we see that the number of vertices must be smaller or equal to the number of edges. Aha! They are not trees, because for trees we know that there is one more vertex than there are edges. Aha! There are cycles in these graphs. There we got it. And from now on it's easy. From now on it's easy to prove this second part of for the sufficient condition for Euler circuits. Now I put these, I know there are cycles. Now I'm on top of page 7. And let now see the solid structure there, solid edges. Let now C be a circuit in G with, say, maximal number of edges. I put these cycles together and do something. So I take cycles. There are cycles we know now, and I could construct circuits out of this. Yes, there are circuits. Yes, you remember I can reuse the vertices but not the edges. Mm-hmm. I found everything here, a maximum circuit. But it's not an Euler circuit. It's not an Euler circuit. But then you can say, aha, wait a minute, this must be wrong. Because then we take a vertex on this circuit C, call it X there, I have a little dashed structure there. X must belong to a component D. There are some other vertices. Remember, it's a connected graph. And we remember that the vertices, even in this dashed structure D there, they have even degree. And here comes for the induction assumption. Aha, there is an Euler circuit in D. That's something you can allow to use now. It's a smaller structure and we have already proven it. Ah, but then we join it to the big C. Then we have got a new circuit and hopefully it's an Euler circuit. We are done. If it's not, there is an other component with some vertices somewhere else. And then there is a Euler circuit there, and an Euler circuit for this small structure, and then we add it to the big circuit, and at last it becomes an Euler circuit. Yeah, that was a nice proof. This is from a rather advanced book by Béla Bolabás. Modern graph theory. Yeah, and that was a nice proof, I think. Oh, Nora, we have to relax a little bit. But I'm soon back with a new lecture on graph theory. See you.